It's Thursday. Welcome in. It's the Huddle on ESPN Upstate. Greg McKinney and Lonzo will be here till 4 o'clock this afternoon, and we're glad you are with us on a cloudy day. Look, there's rain coming in now. You know, the interesting thing is they moved a bunch of football games to Thursday from Friday. 90% chance of rain tonight. Tomorrow night, 40%.
That's hilarious. That is so funny.
Yeah, that's well, I mean, you know, I feel for these guys. It's, you know, look, the real weather people don't know what it's going to do. How are athletic directors supposed to know? Hey, it will be warmer tonight. Low tonight, 48. Low tomorrow night, 39? 39 degrees.
Really?
Tomorrow night.
Okay.
That'll be early Saturday morning, I guess, sometime.
Oh, all right. So
not game time.
If it's cold rain tomorrow, it actually will be cold rain.
You can call that cold rain, yeah. I mean, it's going to be not that pleasant both nights for the high school football players. And more importantly, I mean, the players are fine. They're running around. They're staying warm. The fans sitting out in the stands watching them. But anyway, we have a bunch of games tonight. We're going to talk a lot about high school football on the show today. We will chat live with Mark Hodge. He's the coach at Chapman, the Panthers, having another great year over in Inman, and they face Emerald in the first round of the playoffs. Also, our conversation with Reggie Shaw, head coach of the Burns Rebels. They are about to play Westside. That one is still on for tomorrow night, this point, at Nixon Field. And we'll have that one for you on 106.3 WORD. If it's tomorrow night, if they should have to move it to Saturday, back here on ESPN Upstate. Get yourself a scorecard. I know it's difficult. Anyway, a lot of previewing of high school football coming up on the show today. We'll preview tonight's NFL game. Good one. Good one. Panthers and Steelers in Pittsburgh. You can hear that here on ESPN Upstate starting at 8 o'clock. And if you prefer the Panthers broadcast with Mick Mixon, it's on Classic Rock 101.1. Also, I thought Jalen Rose said something I consider fairly ridiculous about Zion Williamson. And we'll let you hear that coming up. And you can chime in with your opinion on that if you want. After his big game at Duke, with Duke beating Kentucky earlier in the week, there's lots of Zion talk going around. We also will hear from Brian Edwards, receiver for the Gamecocks, ahead of their game with Florida, the Gators, coming up on Saturday. Diddy's in here at 3:20 this afternoon. Talked to him a little bit about some baseball things, including word that Tim Tebow will start at least at the AAA level this year. And they haven't ruled out him starting with the Mets.
Moving up, baby. Moving up. It's going to happen.
Tim Tebow is being promoted beyond his capabilities probably, but hey, what the heck?
Cannot be denied. Going to the show.
He's a machine. Yeah, we'll talk to Diddy about that. And also some UCF stuff. I just have to kind of...
Why?
Because I like to go Diddy. I like to just set him off about Central Florida. And there's more stuff. Here's what I'm going to talk to him about today. There was a Vegas betting house that did a projected scenario. What would the line be if Central Florida played Alabama for the national championship? What do you think the line would be in that game?
59 points.
Stop it. 31. 31 points in favor of Bama in that head-to-head, according to betonline.com.
Come on. You know it would be more than that.
31?
I saw him play. There's no way.
They just beat LSU at LSU's place by 29. So, yeah.
LSU would beat UCF, too. Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, you know. It's...
Well, I think...
Someone
UCF
needs,
fans
someone
don't
needs
love
to
that.
Beat the stinking team so we can be done with this.
So they can stop talking. And we'll also talk to him about Bryce Harper and the sweepstakes to pick up the Nationals player. Man, he's going to get a deal. There's talk about Bryce Harper getting a deal worth $400 million. Maybe 12 years. That's crazy. Yeah, we'll talk about all that anyway. Coming up on the show today. And there's a little bit of news from the NCAA about the FBI investigation. Now the FBI is saying, go ahead, NCAA. You see what we got on college basketball. Have at it. What will the NCAA do? That coming up as well. All right, 844-477-3776. The Health Day or text line is 71307. Start your message with ESPN. On Twitter, at ESPN Upstate. So, college football. Headed into another Big weekend. Clemson Tigers, will they be challenged this week at Boston College? It's a key divisional matchup. Basically, you're talking about the Atlantic on the line here. So if Clemson should lose this game, it would be extremely meaningful. But the line on this game is anywhere from 18 to 20 points, even on the road for the Clemson Tigers. It started out at 17.5, moved up to about 20 this week. There's others that say about 18, but take your pick. It's better than a two-score spread. And by the way, if you take a look at who might win the Coastal, like Virginia or Pittsburgh or Virginia Tech, Clemson would be against any of those three teams right now in the ACC championship game, 25-point or more favorites. There you go. Buy your ACC tickets now, folks. Go see that classic. Good grief. Unbelievable. So, look, Clemson's hugely favored again this week, but game day's there, big atmosphere. People are pumped up until the score gets out of hand at Chestnut Hill for the game this week. So we're looking forward to seeing if Clemson faces a challenge this week. One of the key guys for Clemson, as always, has been receiver Hunter Renfrow. He's talking to the media this week. Of course, Hunter Renfrow, a walk-on at Clemson, and has just been lights out in his career with the Tigers. It feels like, people make jokes about it all the time, feels like he's been there about 8 years. From the PD area of South Carolina, Sacristia, I believe it was, for Hunter Renfrow. And Renfrow talking this week about his Clemson career and what it means to have made the team and kind of become nationally famous as a walk-on.
We have our five goals at the beginning of the season. Win the opener, that you can take that, take care of that right off the bat, and then you got to wait basically the whole season. And think about it, the other day, we win the division, win the state, win the ACC in the next 4 weeks. So it's kind of coming to that championship time, kind of that orange pants time of the season where stakes get a little higher and we got a chance to do something special.
Hunter, just recently, just today, you were named a finalist for the Boldsworth Award, which is an award for players who start off as a walk-on in their career. Can you expand upon that a little bit and what the honor is like?
Yeah, no, it's an incredible honor. I actually just found out about it about 30 minutes ago and I was reading up on it. And it's a cool foundation, does a lot for children that are kind of in need. So it's cool just to be just mentioned with the, I mean, Baker Mayfield was a walk-on last year, won the Heisman. So there's a lot of good players, I mean, in college football that started as a walk-on. And it's just special. It's something that I've always taken with me, coming to practice every day, just knowing that I'm a walk-on. And so to be able to be recognized as one of the, I guess, finalists for that award is pretty special.
Will you ever hear from other guys that maybe dreamed to do what you did one day? And what kind of advice do you give guys like that?
Yeah. I mean, social media, that sort of deal, or just working a camp and just talking to a guy, and a lot of high schoolers that want to know what it takes to kind of be a walk-on. And what I always tell them, it's kind of unique at Clemson. It's a special place. But, I mean, anywhere you go, it's all about the little things. It's all about just having fun in the moment, having fun playing the game. And just to take that mentality of being a walk-on every day, whether it's in football, and that's something that I can kind of take with me the rest of my life, that I came in kind of undervalued, kind of nobody knew who I was. And so that's going to kind of, whether it's in the next stage of life, starting a business or whatever it may be, just being able to take that and kind of having that chip on your shoulder.
Can you ever pinch yourself? Like,
yeah.
Try to think about what you've all been able to accomplish?
Yeah, for sure. The other day I was thinking, and I obviously always remember I was a walk-on, but I kind of forget sometimes just because it's been so long since I had been one, and you just feel like you belong with the guys. But yeah, you do pinch yourself just to be able to, for me, even if I got a scholarship, it was never really about the scholarship. It was just about accomplishing the things that I wanted to accomplish and winning some games.
There's Hunter Renfrow. Yep, one of the better walk-ons in college football for sure. It'd be interesting to see what he can do at the next level, what kind of opportunity he may get. Can he do what Adam Humphreys, for example, has done out of Dorman High School? Adam's had a Very good start to an NFL career with Tampa Bay, and we'll see. But Hunter Renfrow has certainly made his contributions over the years to the Clemson Tigers. We have some injury news, college football, some fairly significant injury news going into the weekend. Not for Clemson or for South Carolina, but Notre Dame, their quarterback, Ian Book, he is not going to play on Saturday because of a rib injury. He will miss the Florida State game. Book is expected to be available for their game against Syracuse November 17th, a week from Saturday. November 17th, they play number 13, Syracuse, and that's a big game coming up for the Irish. Suffered the injury in the win over Northwestern last week. They won by 10, 31-21. He did finish the game. He has been big for Notre Dame. Their season kind of took on a whole new level when he took over for Brandon Wimbush as the starting quarterback against Wake Forest on September 22nd. Wimbush, in the first three games of the season, threw for one touchdown and four interceptions and only completed about 55% of his passes. Book completed all three of his passes in the fourth quarter against Vanderbilt, was named the starter against Wake Forest, and has held that job ever since. And the Irish have been better offensively under Ian Book. He's thrown 15 touchdowns, 14 interceptions. I'm sorry, four interceptions. 15 touchdowns, four interceptions in his seven games. Wimbush will be back as the starter against Florida State. Of course, it's Florida State. They have struggled. Their defense, 65th overall in yards allowed per game, 121st in passing yards per game. So if Brandon Wimbush wants to have a big game, this could be an opportunity for him to do that. But they may just stick it out on the ground and try to grind out a win there for Notre Dame against Florida State this week. And then another injury that could affect the South Carolina Gamecocks game at Florida. Florida quarterback Kyle Trask suffered a non-contact injury in practice yesterday. Had to be carted off the field. And so his availability is in question. Seen some reports he's out for the season. Haven't seen a confirmation of that from Florida. So it looks like it's going to be Felipe Franks' game against the Gamecocks. Even though Trask might have started this game had he been healthy. He came on in relief for Franks for the Gators in the second half last week and sparked them. He completed 10 out of 18 passes, 126 yards, and a touchdown. They were already well behind, and they lost to Missouri 38-17. After the game, Dan Mullen didn't say who would start, but he didn't rule out the idea that Trask might start against South Carolina on Saturday because Felipe Franks was not very good last week, 9 of 22 with two interceptions. And he left the game with about 5 minutes left in the third quarter. Mullen earlier had declined to reveal his starter for the game on Saturday. He said, not going to share what our strategy is. But he might not have to share it because Trask may not be available. It's looking that way with the injury. A lower body injury is all we really know about Kyle Trask. He's a redshirt sophomore, missed all of last season with a foot injury, has appeared in three games this year, and also has a rushing touchdown in addition to the passing touchdown. So that may help the Gamecocks a little bit. It certainly limits the options at quarterback for the Florida Gators in that noon kickoff on Saturday in Gainesville between those two SEC East schools. All right, so there's a couple of injury updates for you. 844-477-3776. That's our number here in the huddle. Let's take a break. We have a lot more coming up, including the comments from Jalen Rose about Zion Williamson that were sort of interesting. Let you hear those coming up. Stay with us in the huddle on ESPN Upstate. 23 after 1 here. The Thursday huddle on ESPN Upstate with Greg McKinney and Lonzo. First call, let's go to Delvin today. Hi, Delvin.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
We're good.
Yeah, I was going to talk about college football, but I think you touched on everything. I want to talk about the injuries, but actually the basketball, I want to see what the NCAA is going to do now with this whole, they got a free reign to investigate. I don't think they're going to investigate.
Why don't you think they'll investigate?
You think the NCAA is going to bring down their whole moneymaker machine, so to speak?
Well, I mean, it's going to be a bad look if they don't even investigate. They got a list here of a bunch of names, Delvin, a bunch of names and a bunch of teams. What, about a dozen teams so far? And that list is probably going to grow. The allegations are there. I guess they can just, pretend it didn't happen. But
why look into something you already know is happening?
Well, because this is your responsibility.
Well, what I'm saying is you got to believe they already know about all this kind of stuff. And as far as investigations goes, you can say, yeah, we investigated.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we investigated.
Mm-hmm. And didn't find anything? Is that what they're going to say? We're investigating and we didn't
find
anything.
They'll find some minor things, just enough to make it look like they did something, and then they'll let it go.
All right. Thank you, Dalvin. Yeah, we'll take a look at the the report that came out this week. It involves Johnny Dawkins and you know, how much detail on this conspiracy basically was out there. And there's like a 5-page memo that outlines the plan to pay schools or pay players at schools, and it gets pretty specific. So, yeah, he had a business plan, basically. A business plan to pay a bunch of people. And by the way, in this email, Dawkins advised his partners that he had deals in place with 3 players that recently turned pro. Clemson's Jahron Blossom game on the list. Just in case you're looking for another local connection. We'll tell you more about that coming up. I want to get to this. Zion Williamson, of course, has already lit up the scoreboard one day in one game, in his first game for Duke against the Kentucky Wildcats in the blowout win night before last. And so some talk about Williamson continues to ratchet up, and the praise is just over the top. The hype continues, and it's not overhyped, according to guys like Myron Metcalf. He's with ESPN. Here's what he says about Zion.
There's never been a more explosive player as a freshman in college in the history of the game. I'll say that right now about Zion Williamson. And that's not me saying that. That's Coach K telling me that. That's other great guys who've been around the league telling me that. Stop comparing him to LeBron and compare him to the body of J.J. Watt, except this phenomenal basketball player. I've covered this game a long time. I'm as guilty as anyone of exaggerating things, of getting caught up in the hype. I am telling you, this is something I have never seen at this level in my entire career. He is that unique, that special. And if anybody had any doubts, is he just going to be a highlight reel? Yeah. Is he just going to be a guy who makes sports center every night? No, that dude is a complete basketball player who can handle the ball, who can shoot, who's very smart. He can do a lot of things, and he's going to terrorize college basketball for the 6 months he's here.
I like that. For the 6 months he's here. Forget about him finishing the second semester of school in his 1 year at Duke.
J.J. Watt six playing months. Basketball.
Compare him to J.J. Watt, not LeBron James. All right, but then here's what I really want you to hear. Jalen Rose, part of the Fab Five at Michigan, 1991. Best freshman class considered of all time. And so Jalen Rose said this, that Zion Williamson might not even start for the Fab Five at Michigan. Here's his explanation of that opinion.
If you wanted to start him for me, you probably could. If you wanted to start him on the perimeter, cool. But if you're going to start him at 4, he ain't starting over Juwan. You want to start him at the 5, he ain't starting over C-Webb. He don't have the ball skills that they have. Now, he's a terrific player, but he ain't starting over one of those guys. Now, if you want to give him my spot, then you could go right ahead. Juwan Howard, dribble, pass, and shoot. Chris Webber, dribble, pass, and shoot. Zion, dunk, athletic, can run, can dribble, can pass, can't shoot yet.
That's not fair. He can shoot a little bit. They're underrating Zion's ability to shoot
the
basketball.
First shot he took was a 3-pointer, right?
Yeah, he hit it. It's the only one he took, and he hit it.
And it was a sweet 3-pointer.
I understand that's not his game, that he's not, going to be jacking threes and be a great shooter. But come on. You're not going to start Zion Williamson on that Michigan team? You're not going to start Zion Williamson in place of Ray Jackson? Ray Jackson, who never played a game in the NBA.
That cheating Michigan team?
Yeah, the cheating one. Jimmy King, I mean, look, he backed off out of it a little bit and started saying, yeah, you could start him for me. Okay, Jalen. I mean, Ray Jackson wasn't even drafted in the NBA. He got a workout with the Knicks. They cut him in the preseason. He was cut by the Pistons the next year. Played in the Continental Basketball Association a little bit. You're not going to come. It's just too ridiculous for me to even address Zion Webb. That's that. Man, it was better back in my day. Players aren't what they used to be. Jalen's sounding so old with that take, man. Zion Williamson not starting on that Michigan team.
He's trying to save a failing program. That's what he's trying to do.
He might even start for some of the guys he's talking about. I mean, so Zion Williamson is not as good as Juwan Howard as a freshman? Chris Webber? Great players. This guy is a new level of size and talent combined.
It's also all this reaction, and how many games has he played?
Well, that's right, but, we're talking about freshmen here with Michigan. They were freshmen. They were great. They were great. To say he was not going to make the starting five on that team is just absurd.
We'll be curious what the stats were for their very first game, because I would think it probably wasn't as good as what Zion did.
I would think not either. I would think not either. I can give you the season stats for those guys that first year, which was 1991-92. Ray Jackson averaged 4.5 points a game. 4.6 a game.
Wow.
Not going to start for him. Jimmy King averaged 9.9 points a game. The other guys were in double digits, led by Jalen Rose himself, 17.6. First game the other night, Zion Williamson with 28. 11 of 13 shooting. Yeah. All right. We won't spend a whole lot of time on that ridiculousness from Jalen Rose. You could hear him backpedaling off of that. No, he probably wouldn't start. Okay, he might start for me. He might could play for me if you want to do that. But he's not starting in place of Howard or Webber. And he didn't even mention Jimmy King or Ray Jackson, who are the other guys in the Fab Five. I love those kind of – it's just not as good as it used to be. Athletes aren't what they used to be. No, they're better. Sorry, Jalen. 844-477-3776. All right, let's take another break. We'll come back with more just underway here. The Thursday Huddle on ESPN Upstate. We'll be right back. Phone lines open, 844-477-3776. The Health Dare text line, 71307. Twitter, at ESPN Upstate. Greg McKinney, Lonzo in the huddle. Here on Thursday afternoon. Panthers and the Steelers, 8 o'clock airtime tonight. About 8:24, the kickoff. In Pittsburgh tonight. Should be a good game. Looking forward to it. And a little news coming out of Pittsburgh today. A little distraction, if you will. Antonio Brown, man, is he fast. Driving over 100 miles per hour this morning on the streets of Pittsburgh in his Porsche, black Porsche, charged with reckless driving, speeding past an officer, according to WPXI-TV in Pittsburgh. Steelers spokesman says the team is aware of the situation and gathering information. That's what we know.
You know what? I've never driven a Porsche before, but I'm thinking it's one of those cars that needs to be driven fast, mm-hmm. and you can't help it. You're not paying attention, and the car just takes off.
All right, so Lonzo gives Antonio Brown a pass.
What was the speed limit again?
Probably not 100. Well, I don't know. It doesn't say.
If he was doing 100 in the 70, that's totally different than doing 100 in a 35 or a 25.
This doesn't say interstate on the outskirts of Pittsburgh. It says on Pittsburgh streets. Pittsburgh streets. Probably not 70-mile-an-hour speed limit. Probably not.
More than likely.
Yeah. Probably more like a 40 or 50-mile-an-hour speed limit. Could be even a 35-mile-an-hour speed limit.
I would think if he was doing 100 in a 35, he'd be arrested.
Isn't there
a certain level where you just get arrested?
You're supposed to. 100 would be that level just about anywhere, I think.
Have you been on 385 at certain times of night?
I have been there, yes, on certain times of day and night, yes. 100 miles an hour. So what is does this affect his playing tonight?
No.
No. Nah, he'll be out there. He'll be out there. He'll pay a fine and it's over, right?
Yeah, maybe he'll be so concerned about being pulled over that he won't run a crisp route.
I'm going to go with probably no on that, too. Antonio Brown, big part of this Steelers offense, and don't count on him not being there. So far this year, Antonio Brown has just under 600 yards of catches, 594. on 51 receptions and 9 touchdowns. And, you know, here lately, see, last week he had 42 yards. He hadn't had a big game in a couple of weeks. Hadn't been over 100 yards since mid-October. Did that against Cincinnati, and he also did it against the Atlanta Falcons. Do you think Antonio gets 100 yards against the Panthers defense?
Yes.
Right, why?
Because I'm not real high on the Panthers defense right now. I think they've had some games where they haven't been really good. I know the team is winning, but I think the defense has been kind of a weakness.
Not as good as they have been in the past in some years. A weakness, though? I don't know. I mean,
if you look at the Panthers and you're looking for a weakness right now, I would think the defense would be where you would find it. Quicker than on the offense.
I mean, the offense has been impressive. Let's see. Last week, Panthers gave up 28. They gave up 21 to the Ravens. They gave up 17 on the road to the Eagles. That's not bad. 23 to the Redskins. 31 to the Giants. That's too much for the Giants. 21 to the Bengals. 31 to the Falcons.
Some of those you can chalk up to the fact that Thomas Davis wasn't there.
Yeah.
And they have improved since he's been back. They've gotten a little more of their intensity back, but they're not quite where they were last year.
The defense, I mean, we thought it was going to be lights out after that first game against Dallas where they held the Cowboys to 8 points. But nothing close to that since then. So, yeah, that's true. And Cam Newton, just outstanding, 67% completion rate, 15 touchdowns, just 4 interceptions. So certainly have to be pleased with what he has done. You know, maybe the defense kind of finds itself a little more in the second half. But this is a great game here. It's a great game tonight for Thursday Night Football. And we'll talk about who you think is going to win that game coming up. Save that for 3 questions at 3. So you could watch all that game or you could take a look at the college schedule tonight, Lonzo. Will you be flipping back and forth between the Panthers and the Steelers and Wake Forest, NC State?
Man, that's a hard choice. Are there any other games? Just Wake Forest and
State? That's it. Yeah.
I'm guessing probably I will not be flipping.
No, Wake Forest has not been very good. I think NC State's probably going to take care of business here. Wake Forest had some injury issues. That's the ESPN game tonight, Carter Finley Stadium in Raleigh at 7:30. Last night we had some college football. Miami of Ohio beat Ohio 30-28, so that's a good game. And Northern Illinois beat Toledo 38-15. So those are your games last night. But you get Wake Forest, NC State tonight. Then tomorrow night, Friday night, another ACC matchup, another ranked ACC team, Syracuse, against Louisville at the Carrier Dome. That's tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Followed by Fresno State, Boise State. Fresno State number 23 in the country. I guess you've got to be a pretty big college football fan, almost obnoxiously so, to pick Wake Forest, NC State over the Panthers and the Steelers tonight.
They're out there.
There's some people that will say, yeah, I'll watch any college game over any NFL game. I mean, that's, you got to be basically protesting the NFL to do that, don't you?
Or I've met people like this, don't believe, once they're done playing college, they're done. They don't exist anymore. They just don't believe in pro sports at all. All they care about is college because that's pure and nothing. Yeah.
No, it's pure. All right.
That's the argument. That is the argument.
Yeah, it's pure. Speaking of the purity of college sports, we'll get into what the latest is on the NCAA and the FBI and the basketball investigation and where do we go from here. Now the FBI is saying to the NCAA, it's your ball if you want to investigate. Here's the information. Have at it, and we'll tell you some specifics about that. That's coming up. Stay with us after the break. This is The Huddle on ESPN Upstate. We'll be right back. So we're about to find out how bold the NCAA will be about what was uncovered in the 3-year federal investigation, FBI investigation, into college basketball. Because federal authorities have now given NCAA officials their approval to move ahead with their own investigation of alleged rules violations, pay for pay, other corruption in college basketball. During the trials in New York, evidence and testimony was presented that alleged potential rules violations involving coaches and players at several schools. They included Arizona, Creighton, Kansas, Louisville. Be surprising if Louisville wasn't on there, wouldn't it? LSU, NC State, Oklahoma State, Oregon, and others. ESPN's reported there could be as many as 36 Division I programs that could face NCAA sanctions, including some of the traditional powers, once the federal government releases all the information it acquired during the three-year probe. Amongst the most revealing evidence turned over to the NCAA, according to Outside the Lines of ESPN, Christian Dawkins' business plan. He is an aspiring agent, was an aspiring agent. And he emailed a business plan to his partners September of last year, 2017. 5 pages. And this plan detailed a plan to make monthly payments of thousands of dollars and to provide other benefits to players at a dozen Division I schools and a handful of the country's top prospects for 2019 and 2020. 5-page business plan, just right there, black and white, on paper. Dawkins and Jim Gatto, who is an Adidas executive, and Merle Code, former player at Clemson, and a former Adidas consultant, were convicted of felony conspiracy to commit wire fraud and wire fraud during last month's trial. They're awaiting sentencing. Stacey Osborne's a spokeswoman for the NCAA. She will not confirm whether the NCAA is preparing to begin an investigation. She said, "We can't comment on current, past, or potential investigations." Federal prosecutors only released a portion of their evidence to the NCAA, not everything. There are additional criminal trials coming up in February and in April, so more information will be coming to light. But in this email Dawkins sent to his business partner, he detailed payment plans for players at Alabama, Arizona, Cincinnati, Kentucky, Louisville, LSU, Miami, Mississippi State, Oregon, Southern Cal, and Xavier. And some of those were to begin in September of 2017. There is no evidence that any of the payments were actually made before he was arrested. There is also no evidence so far that any of the players had knowledge of the pay-for-play schemes. ESPN tried to contact each of the players included in this business plan through their respective agents, schools, or other contacts. This email was included in the evidentiary files from the corruption trial, and in it, Christian Dawkins detailed his blueprint for his sports management agency, which was called Lloyd Incorporated, L-O-Y-D. L-O-Y-D stands for Living Out Your Dreams. Yeah, you're living out your dreams to get paid. Included an ambitious plan to provide cash and other improper benefits to a wide network of players. In this email, Christian Dawkins said, "We want to be a one-stop shop for everything. We will take a majority interest in a sports agency where we partner with certified agents who we will then have our players sign to. The certified agency will essentially be our sister company. That way, we can charge 3% on the team contract, 20% on the marketing, 5% on accounting, 5% on investment return." So he said, "If we have a player on a $50 million deal for 4 years who is also making $500,000 a year in marketing, we should generate $2 million over those 4 years off of one player." Sweet.
Well thought out plan, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Got it all laid out there for him. And here's the interesting part today. In the email, Dawkins advised his partners that he had deals in place with three players who recently turned pro. Edmund Sumner from Xavier, Justin Patton from Creighton, Jerron Blossomgame from Clemson. So another Clemson connection here. You know, that makes the folks over at Tigertown cringe to see this come out today. Dawkins also listed 19 prospective players who were in college or high school. Just looking through this list, nobody local on here. You had Colin Sexton from Alabama. He's been all over this. Colin Sexton's been mentioned a lot. Troy Brown Jr. from Oregon. Ray Spalding at Louisville. Let's see, you got LSU's Brandon Sampson, Xavier's Trevon Blewett, Jared Vanderbilt, Kentucky, among the guys mentioned as the prospective players. in the plan. It included intricate payment details for several of the players and their families. Yeah, this family thing's been a big part of this. Yeah, we're not playing the players, but hey, daddy's getting some money. It revealed myriad people who might have had financial stakes in their potential NBA careers. Dawkins apparently offered or was prepared to offer employment with Lloyd Incorporated to mentors, coaches, siblings, cousins, and other associates of the players. Wow. According to the business plan, Dawkins proposed making payments to families of their players that included this. Let me skip down and see where we have anything of local interest here. Man, this is a long report from ESPN on this. Not seeing details on Jerron Blossom game on here, even though he was mentioned in the story. So don't have any more information about what their plan was with Jerron here. Got a lot on here about other players, though. A lot. Troy Brown, Oregon, number 15 pick by the Wizards. He wasn't going to get monthly payments, according to the proposal, but he did request $5,000 to purchase Floyd Mayweather fight tickets. Okay. The Colin Sexton thing, Alabama. They're going to provide him $1,500 a month from September 2017 until April of 2018. Plus $23,000 in travel expenses for his family. His brother was going to get a four-year contract from the company worth $170,000. His brother, Jordan Sexton. Colin Sexton was only with Alabama for 1 year. He was selected 8th in the NBA draft by the Cleveland Cavaliers. Vanderbilt's family was going to get $30,000 in travel expenses to watch him play for Kentucky. His father was going to get $25,000 as a signing bonus when his son turned pro. Brother Jamal and dad will be part of the deal, according to Dawkins, and receive 25% of our income on all sides. They were going to give Vanderbilt a $100,000 line of credit, $25,000 advance on his marketing revenue, if he was projected as a lottery pick at the end of 2017-2018. He only played 14 games for Kentucky, had a foot injury. Second-round pick of the Magic in the NBA. So, anyway, there's some of it. So now we have to watch and see what the information about Jerron Blossom game is going to be, because he's mentioned in this latest report from ESPN on corruption in college basketball. We'll wait for more details to come out about that. All right, 844-477-3776. That's our phone number here in the huddle on ESPN Upstate if you want to jump in. You can get us on the Health Dare text line at 71307. Start your message with ESPN, and we're on Twitter at ESPN Upstate. Coming up after the top of the hour break, we will check in live with Mark Hodge. He's the head coach of the Chapman Panthers. They're getting ready to play in the high school football playoffs against Emerald out of Greenwood County. So we'll talk to Coach Hodge about that. This Chapman team still winning in a big way. They have big expectations in the playoffs. We've got to do our college football picks, so we'll do that coming up in the next hour. And we will also hear from Brian Edwards, Gamecock receiver, ahead of their game coming up against the Florida Gators on Saturday at noon in Gainesville. Brian Edwards coming up as well. So all that ahead here with Greg McKinney and Lonzo in the huddle for Thursday afternoon. Stay with us on ESPN Upstate. We'll be back in just a moment.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.